The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Torah tells us, after the previous Parashah spoke of the birth of Yaakov and Esav, and it told us the nature of these two individuals that were to become one the leader of Israel and the other the leader of Edom, and also arch enemies. This week's Parsha tells us, Parsha's Vayetze, how Yaakov leaves home because of the wrath of Esav, because he took the brochus, and he goes to the house of Lavan in search of a wife. And then it also tells of the birth of the 12 Shvatim, the 12 sons. In this Parsha, all of the 12 sons are born, with the exception of Binyamin, who is born in the next Parsha. I'd like this evening to spend some time in studying about Yaakov. And then perhaps next week, we will speak about the Yud Beis, the 12 Shvatim. Yaakov, the sages refer to as the Bechir Sheba Oves, that he was the chosen, the most perfected of the Oves of Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And the Gemara brings in Masechet Shabbos, Perekhovis Daf Kuf Mem Vov, the Gemara says, "The Omer Ababa Bakahano." Israel has a purity which is found, which is not found by any other nation. And this purity did not come, though, until three generations after Abraham. There was an impurity that came into the world. The Gemara says, during the time of the chait of Nochosh and Odom and Chava, that when the serpent enticed Chava to eat from the tree which was forbidden, and then she gave the fruit to Odom, he told Zuhama, he put an impurity into them which went into all of the world. But we find that Israel was saved from this impurity. When? After they became the Bnei Yaakov, the children of Yaakov. So Rebbe Bar Kahana explains to us that Ad Shleisha Doris, it took three generations, Leposka Zuhama Miyaviseinu, that this Zuhama, this poison, ceased from our fathers. Abraham was the first one to make enormous advances in perfection and in purifying himself. But we see still holy Desh Ishmael, but he still gave birth to Ishmael. And from Ishmael came out all of the Arab nations. Yitzchok, his son, again made enormous advances in making himself greater and developing himself. But we still see holiness Esav, that he gave birth to an Esav. And from Esav came out Edom, the great nations of Edom and the Roman Empire. Yaakov, who was Yitzchok's son, holy Yud Beis Shvatim, Shelo Haya Behen Shum Defi. Yaakov gave birth to 12 sons, and on all of them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote his name and testified that they are all kulam tzaddikim, they are all righteous. So we see that it took three generations for this process of self-development, of purification, to create Klal Yisrael. And Yaakov was the one who finally achieved it. This is what is meant when our sages say that Yaakov was the Bechir Sheba Oves. He reached perfection which was far greater than his predecessors. Further, we see, accordingly, that the Am HaNifkar, the nation that was chosen, to be the light unto the nations. They are called on Yaakov's name. They are called Bnei Yaakov, either Bnei Yaakov or Bnei Yisrael. Yisrael was Yaakov's name, like we're going to learn in the next week's parsha. Now, even though we are Bnei Avraham, Yitzchok and Yaakov, but nevertheless, we're referred to as Bnei Yaakov or Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avraham, right at the beginning of the world, as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, was Avraham. It says that he watched, he looked over the first generation, 10 generations, and he finally found Noah. But again, it was a disappointment. He looked over the next 10 generations. Then he came to Abraham. Abraham was the one he was looking for. Until then was a wrath from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was angry. Fact is, right before Parshas Lech Lecha, Rashi brings, it's not in our Sefer Torah, but Rashi brings, evidently this was supposed to be in the Sefer Torah, that the noon at the end, Choron, the noon at the end of the previous Parsha is written upside down to show a division between the first two Parshas, Bereishis and Noach, and Parshas Lech Lecha. He says, because Ad Kan Charein Af Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that noon represents Charon, the anger of Hashem. Till then was the anger of Hashem, because Bereishis and Noach speaks of the first 20 generations. Lech Lecha starts with the second era. That was the era of Avraham. And what was the first dibur that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham? And the first dibur was, he said, Lech Lecha, Me'atzecha, go out from your land, Umi Malaritecha, and from your birthplace, Umi Beis Avicha, and from your father's house, Elores Asher Arecha, from the land to the land which I will show you. What is he saying? He's saying, separate yourself, divide yourself, divorce yourself from your past, because this is a new start. And that's what the Midrash writes, Bereishis Bore Elokim Bishvil Avraham. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it was with this in mind. He was waiting for this Avraham. Right? Unfortunately, it only came after 20 generations. And then he said to Avraham, Ve'eschol legei godol, he started to heap brachas on him. I will make you into a great nation, Vavarechecho, and I will bless you, Vagad l'shemecho, and I will make your name grace, Ve'yei brocho, and you shall be boruch. Vavoche mevarechacho, mekalelcho olor. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. V'nivruchu v'chol kol mishpacheso adonah. And all of the nations of the world will be blessed because of you. Now, this bechira, this choice of Avraham, and these brachas that he gave to Avraham, and these were the brachas that we find in last week's parsha that Yaakov and Esav were fighting over, were quarreling over. These were the brachas that were given to Yitzchok, and then Yitzchok to give to his son. And again, we will find the say later on by Yosef and his and the other sons. This choice and these brachos found their ultimate perfection in Yaakov and in the Yud Beis Shvatim. This was the culmination and the ultimate perfection. And this is what the world consists of. That just as there was this ritzitza, there was the turbulation between Yaakov and Esav, Achazal tell us, so in the world will there be this turbulation between Yaakov and his adversaries. Main adversary will be Esav, but there'll be others also. And the world will be a struggle between this nation, which represents the light and the good, and between the and other nations, those that represent darkness and evil. And it will be Yaakov and the rest. And this is man. Man constantly has this ritzitza, this struggle within him, within himself, always, between the powers of good and the powers of evil. Now, it's not that we mean that Yaakov himself made himself or was greater than Avraham and Yitzchok. To the contrary. And therefore we neglect Avraham and Yitzchok, to the contrary. When we daven, we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov. And many times we say Mogein Avraham, it states Chesmin be Avraham. When we conclude the bracha, we just mention Avraham. And Avraham was the Reishis. He was the beginning, he was the cornerstone. But what is meant is that Avraham achieved one foundation. Yitzchak came and added a second foundation to that. And then Yaakov, inheriting all of these qualities and building on all of these achievements, he perfected it into totality. So this is what we mean when Yaakov came to levels that his predecessors did not come to. Now, we can then understand what is brought in next week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayishlach, Lamed Gimel, Posuk Chof. It's something which is very strange. It states, Vayatzev Shom Mizbeach, Yaakov built a Mizbeach, an altar there, Vayikra Lei, and he called him Kael. Kael means a god, a lord. Actually, Kael is from the word strong, a strong lord. Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel. Now, what is meant by that? By Yatzev Shom Mizbeach, Yaakov built an altar, and he called him Kael Elokei Yisrael. He called him the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, is it referring to the altar he called? Or is he referring to Hashem? What is it referring to? So Rashi elaborates to try to penetrate this simple text, the simple meaning. But it's very difficult. It would say that he built an altar, and is he referring to the altar, or he called the altar in accordance to the name of Hashem? Then the Rashi says, V'rabbeinu dorshu. But the sages expound differently what is meant. And it refers, Ya'akorish Bochu Kora Le'Yakov Kael. Korish Bochu called Yaakov Kael. Now, he brings from the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah, and Daf Yud Ches, says, Omar, Ravacha Baraloza, Minayin Shekoro Akorish Bochu LeYaakov Kael. How do we know that Akorish Bochu called Yaakov by the name of God, Kael, a Lord? Shneimar VaYikra Lei, he called him Kael, Elokei Yisrael. Disakadaitech LeMizbeach Korele Yaakov Kael. Because if you say it means that Yaakov referred to the Mizbeach, to the altar, as a Kael, as a God, then it should say Vayikra Lo Yaakov Miboile. It should say Vayikra Lo Yaakov Kael. Instead it says Vayikra Lo Kael Elokei Yisrael. Elo Vayikra Lo Yaakov Kael. It means that he called Yaakov Kael. Umi Koro Kael, and who called him Kael? Elokei Yisrael. So this is what is meant by the Pasuk. Vayikra Lo Kael, he called Yaakov, Vayatzev Le Mizbeach, Yaakov built an altar, Vayikra Lo Kael, and Hashem called him Kael. El, he called him, Elokei Yisrael. The God of Israel called Yaakov a God. How is it possible the God of Israel should call Yaakov a God? In all due respect to Yaakov, but he wasn't a God. This is what the Gemara says. This is what Rashi brings, and this is what the Gemara says. Now, the Maral explains. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, see, he created the Tachtenim and Elyonim. He created this world and higher worlds. And he told man, Hashemayim Shemayim La'oretz. Excuse me. Oretz na Hashemayim, Hashemayim La'ashem, Oretz na San Livnei Adam. The heavens belong to me. The land, the earth, the lower worlds I give to you. He told Adam Arishayim that you are king over this world. You shall rule over everything on this world, from the fish in the depths of the sea to the birds that fly. You are the king in this world, in the Tachtonim. I am the king in the upper world. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Atom melech betachtonim v'ani melech be'elyonim. The most perfect man ever to walk this universe was Yaakov. So therefore, Yaakov is the perfect king of this earth, of this universe. This is what it means, Vayikra Lei Kael. He called him Kael. He referred to him as a lord, a king. But a king over this world. I am the king over the higher worlds. And why Yaakov? Because he was the perfection, not only the perfection of the Oves, but this means, consequently, he was the perfection of all men. This is why the Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia, in Perak Haseches HaTehilim, it states Shufra de Yaakov ki Shufra de Adam HaRishon, that the appearance and the radiance of Yaakov was like the radiance and the appearance of Adam HaRishon, of the first man, because the first man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, developed as perfect as can be. He was the Yitzir Kapov. He himself made him with his own hands. And he gave him a Tzelem Elokim. He gave him an image and a radiance that no individual ever enjoyed. This was Adam HaRishon. But yet, it states Shufra de Yaakov ki Shufra de Adam HaRishon. That the radiance and the image of Yaakov was that like Adam HaRishon. Now, so this is a little introduction into Yaakov Avinu. Now, what was the secret? What did he do? What did he do that was so great? Or how did he do it? And what did he do that the others laid the foundations for, but they themselves did not achieve? The Torah tells us in four words an identification of Yaakov Avinu. And that was in last week's Parsha. Parshas told us. There it states, this is in Posuk Chof Zayin. After they were born, after the two were born, and they grew up. The Rashi says, when someone is born, Eina Nikar Maisor, you cannot tell what he will be. But when he grows up, then you can see what he's going to be. Vayesav Isha Deatzayid Isode. It gives an identification of Esav. He was an Isha Deatzayid Isode, a person that loved to hunt a man of the field. What does it say about Yaakov? Yaakov Ishtam Yeshiva Olim. Yaakov was an Ishtam, and he dwelled in tents. This is what it tells us about Yaakov. Ishtam, what does that mean? The Targum says Sholim. Sholem means perfect. Yesheva Olim, the Targum says Mishamish Beis Ulfono, which means that he dwelled in the tents of Torah. So Tam means Sholem. Sholem means complete. Perfect. Shlemus means something which is in perfection and in balance. Perfect balance. Not too much to the right, not too much to the left, but centered. Not too much, not too little, but sholem. If we go into this a little deeper, it states that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, there also a definition is given as to what was man created from? What is man made of? And this is in Bereshis Beis, Pasuk Zayin. Vayitzar Hashem Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, Es Adam, offered min Adama. He created him from the earth, from the dust of the earth. Vayipach Bapov Nishmas Chaim, and he blew into his nostrils a living soul. So we see man was created from two elements. Ofer min Adama, he was created from the earth, and he was created from a Nishmas Chaim, a living, he was given a breath of a living soul. Rashi explains, min HaTachtenim u min HaElyonim. Two elements, one came from this world and the other came from another world. One came from the earth, which is the basis of this world, and another came from the breath of life, which is another world. And what happened? Vayodam nefesh chayah. And from these two components, he became a nefesh chayah. Nefesh chayah means living man. So here the Torah gives us a definition of what man was made from. Now, if he was made from two components, and two, each component coming from a different world, there had to be, if he's going to become, he wasn't made into two people. He was made into one person by he, ha'odam le'nefesh chayo, and man with both of them became a nefesh chayo. So there had to be a perfection and a balance. There had to be a perfect united synthesis between the earth and between the Nishmas Chayim, between the two worlds. And then he became the perfect man, Nefesh Chaya, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to be. This is what is meant when it states that Yaakov was Ishtam Sholem. He was perfect. He created, or he struck, a perfect balance between these two great components that man was made from. He wasn't earthly. On the other hand, he wasn't totally spiritual. But he had commanded and unified both forces, and he became the perfect man, Sholem. This is the struggle that's in man all of the time. States that Esav, he was a man of this world. Esodah, he was an earthly person, and the nations that came from him were all earthly. But Yaakov, on the other hand, wasn't someone that only lived in the upper worlds. But he had combined a perfection. And this is the struggle that's in man all of the time, because he's created from both worlds. But when he reaches a perfection, if he does, then he perfects the forces which are in him, he joins them together, and he also rules over both worlds. Because both worlds are in him, he was made from both worlds, and he rules over both worlds and brings them together into one. He unifies them. It's for this reason that we could say that we find that Yaakov had two names. One name was Yaakov. Next week's parsha will learn that he was given another name, Israel. Now, if we look, each name is really a total antithesis to the other. Why was he called Yaakov? So it states, Al Shema Ekev, because of the heel. So that's a name which speaks of this world, of the earthly world, the heel. Why was he called Israel? Because Kisor Isa Im Elokim Batuchal. Because you fought with angels. There it states he was having a war with the Sashel Esav, with the spiritual force of Esav, the angel, and you were victorious. So this refers to a spiritual force. He was given both names because he had encompassed both forces, the force of this world and the force of the next world, a higher worlds, and he made them into one. Therefore he was given both names. And this shows that he could rule over both worlds together, this world and the next world. However, Yaakov denotes something else, that name. Ekev the heel, it states, Yodeh Echezes Ba'akav Esav. When he came out, he was holding on to the heel of Esav. So Rashi brings, this shows that eventually he will rule over Esav. But when? B'seif Malchusoy, at the end. He does not become a total ruler over this world, except in the end. Because just as the heel is the end of a person, he will rule at the end of Esav. Now, there's another feature to Yaakov Avinu, which is interrelated to what we've just spoken about. And this is the Achdus shel Yaakov. Yaakov is always referred to as one. For example, later on, it states, later on, much later, Yaakov already was old and he was dying, and he wanted to bless his children. And Bikesh Legales as Akates, and he wanted to reveal to them also what is going to happen to them in the end of days. So Nistalke Menu Ruach HaKodesh, all of a sudden he had a blank. He couldn't think. He forgot what will happen at the end of days. He wanted to tell them what will be, and about the wars that will go on, and about the victories that will go on, and about when the Melech HaMashiach will come. And Nistalke, he forgot. He couldn't think of it. And he thought, perhaps his children are not roy, are not fit to know of these secrets, because perhaps there's a ruach minus, maybe there's a non-believer amongst them, someone who is not so dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they answered him, Shema Yisrael, they said, listen, our father Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one in your heart, so is he one by us. We are one. There is no division, and we are totally one, just like you are one. And it states, the Maral brings, that the numerical value of Echod is 13. And this also has an indication to the 13 sons of Yaakov. Why do we say 13? He had 12. Because it states that Yosef was divided, subdivided into two, Ephraim and Manasseh. And amongst all of them, there were 13 tribes, 12 and Levi. So the numerical value of Echor, Aleph, Ches, Dalet is 13. To denote the 13, even though he had 13 sons, they were all one. And more, the Aleph represents Levi. Because Levi was Nivdal. Levi always was a Shevet HaMeyuchad. He was a son that was set aside alone. And the Ches represents the eight sons that were born from Leah. Excuse me, the eight sons that were born from Rachel and Leah. And the Dalet represents the four sons that were born from the Shvachis, the maidservants. So we see that not only were there Echad, but their whole number is emblazoned in the Echod of Hashem Echod. Yaakov always represented Achdus, one. And why is this? Because when something is perfect and in totality, then it has to be one. If it's two, then it's divided. Something which is two already is divided. And something which is united can only be one. And Yaakov represented that perfection of a oneness, of a totality,
and a perfect union. And therefore also we never find great multitudes by Yaakov. A multitude. One is always your smallest number. When it comes to great multitudes, this really is contrary to our oneness. Because when there's great multitudes, and especially if everything is going in different directions, this is contrary to our oneness. Because a oneness means many things which are molded into one, and they're united like one team. And this was Yaakov Ubonov. And this is why we always find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am one, Ani Echod, Vatu Echod, Amcha Yisrael Echod, you are one. And he refers to Israel as the Am Echod. Nations of the world are referred to as the Shivim nations, the 70 nations. And Israel is referred to as Am Echod. They are 70, not because they're more, but there are 70 different nations. They are not united. As we see, the nations of the world are never united. So they are 70, not merely because by number, but they are 70 different nations. But Israel, no matter how many people they have, are always Echod. They're one. Mikamcha Yisrael, the Echod Boretz. Who is like you, Yisrael? That's one. No matter how many people you'll have, there's one. But the nations, no matter how many people they'll have, there'll be 70. Then Ishalko, they're divided and divided and divided. And also we find that when it comes to nations, there's no Naribui, great multitudes. When it comes to Klal Yisrael is known as the cotton. Yaakov was referred to as the cotton. He's the small one. Esav was the Ochim HaGodl. Yaakov was the cotton. Now Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I chose you not because of your multitudes. Ki atem ama'at mino amin. You are the smallest of the nations. This all goes into the oneness and the perfection of Yaakov. Actually, from here is a very important lesson we can learn in perfection. When you come to the world, especially the world we live in, which today is the world of Esav, people are convinced that the more the better. The more the better. Whatever you have, the more is the better. If somebody offers you money, you don't tell them you have enough. Even if you have enough, you take it, because the more is the better. Someone offers you a car, you don't tell them, I have a car. So you'll have two cars. The more is the better. Someone offers you a suit, you don't tell them, I already have enough suits. You don't say things like that. The more is the better. You put it away, so you'll have it. This is the psychology. It's more than the psychology, it's the philosophy. This is the philosophy of the world that we live in today. That's why it's called a consumerism world. It constantly consumes more and more and more and more. Our sages tell us something which is very strange. They say a klal kol ha-yeser kinotl domi. If a person has what he needs, that's good. If he has more than he needs, that's not more than he needs. Then that's less than he needs. Kol ha-yeser kinotl domi. If he has more than he needs, then you should know he has less than he needs. Now what does that mean? Actually, this principle is said in regards to several halachos, many laws in the Talmud, in the Gemara. But it's a general principle when it comes to the physical world. Where is it said, for example? It's said in medicine. It's said in medicine and anatomy. An animal has a heart, it's a kosher animal. What happens if it has two hearts? I would think it's better. One heart is good, two hearts are better. Mordechai says it's a trefa animal, it's not kosher. An animal has a liver, it's a kosher animal. If it has two livers, it's better. No, it's trefa. If it has an extra organ, that can disqualify the animal. Why? Because kolayesik and notulomi. Because if it has more, this is a mum. This is a chisorin. This is a lack in it. Now, what is meant by that? So the Maral always explains. Only a fool would come along and say, a painter is painting a beautiful picture, and he puts in a little dark color, and it looks beautiful, makes the whole picture look beautiful. So the fool comes along and says, if dark colors are so beautiful, let me paint the whole picture with darkness. He's ruined the picture. You take music. A composer, a master, he's composing beautiful music, and he puts in here a little loud music, and there a little soft music, here a little fast music, and there a little slow music. So the fool comes along and he says, loud music makes it look so nice, so he makes it all loud. Soft music makes it all soft, fast, slow, and so forth. He's ruined it. The doctor tells a person, take this capsule. He takes the capsule and says, made me feel wonderful. It relieved all of the pain that I had. If one does this, so how much more so if two or three or four do it? So he takes two or three or four and he kills himself. This is a process in our everyday life. You come to a beautiful banquet and they serve you beautiful food and you eat and you said, that was wonderful. Since it's so wonderful, I'll eat more. He eats more, he becomes sick. Someone offers him a drink. He has a good drink and he says, that drink made me feel perfect. If one drink does this, imagine what two drinks will do, or three drinks. So he has two or three drinks. This is a principle in the physical world. Because what is good for a person is perfection. Not ribui, see? Not quantity, but perfection. What is just right for the person, if he eats just what he needs, if he drinks just what he needs, if he has the organs, what the body needs, that's perfect. If he has more, that's an imperfection. That's the same as taking away. Mordechai says you give an animal an extra organ, that's the same as taking away both organs. And that can kill the animal, or the person also. This is a very, very important principle. But the world we live in can't understand that. They don't understand that anything physical that is more than a person needs becomes a great liability to him. Becomes a liability. An example. People will say, how can money become a liability? If a person has exactly as much money as he needs, then it's good. If he has more, it will become a liability. Look, a person has to judge. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives it to him, he gives it to him. But we're talking about the pursuit of it. See, the pursuit where he sets everything else aside. Where does more money become a liability? How many times do we know that people who had enough, and they were wonderful people, all of a sudden they became wealthy? And what happened? It brought machlekes into their life. Rabbi Loy once spoke. He says, how many people does he know that were wonderful, unified families until the father died and left them over a fortune? Now they became wealthy. They don't speak to each other because of strife. They're divided. It brought ruination to them. How many people do I know that when they had enough money and they couldn't afford other things, it was good for them? I know one person, when he could afford, he became made some money and he could afford a private school for his daughter, a private dancing school, so he took her out of a Torah day school and sent her to a private dancing school. This was because he had money which he couldn't afford before. How many people tell me that? We hear so many times that people, when they didn't have the money, so then they carried on. All of a sudden they got a lot of money, and now they could travel overseas, and they decided to pick up and go some other place, and there they lost all the money, and not only that, their family too. And on it goes. Person has one car or two cars, the cars he needs. It gets him around from point to point. It's good if he's got more cars than he needs. So now he's paying insurance. It's a liability. He's paying insurance on something he doesn't need. He's got to build himself more security that it shouldn't be stolen. All of a sudden he's got to build himself another garage or another carport, where to put it. It's like having an extra horse that you don't need, so you're feeding it. A person has enough clothing, perfect. He has more than he needs. What happens? They hang around. He's got to build himself more cupboard space, or he's got to build himself more rooms in the house. In the end, they go out of style anyhow. They become liabilities to him. And if you look, you'll see this is the nature of this world. The Maral says this principle. He says, this is what the Tano in the Mishnah always tells us, where it says, Marbe Bosa, it mentions five things from this world and five things from the other world. And the other world is different. When it comes to Marbe Teter, Marbe Stoker, Marbe Sholem, Marbe Yeshiva, see, that's different. There also, there are Shu'urim, but that's different in the next world, when it comes to things of a higher world. But in this world, it states Marbe Bosa, a person puts on too much weight, marberima, then he brings disease to himself. See, what is it telling us? Because logically we should say not like that. Logically, food is the life of the person. So how does it bring disease to the person? Again, if it's not in perfection. It states marbe avodim. A servant is very good. So a person might say, if I have one servant or two servants and things are so wonderful, let me bring in 10 servants and things will even be better. Soon he'll find out they won't be so better. Marbe avodim, marbe geneva, marbe shvoches, marbe kishuf, and so forth. This is that principle. And this was Yaakov. Yaakov was one. He was not many. And he was perfect. The perfect balance. He wasn't looking for multitudes. It's interesting, we brought this many times, that in next week's parsha, when he meets Esav, and he sends a lavish gift to Esav to be mephias him, to appease him. So Esav says, why are you sending me so much? He says, yesh li rav. He says, I have a great deal. Why are you sending me? And you keep it. And Yaakov said, I don't need it, yesh li kol. I have everything. There was a difference. See, Yaakov said, yesh li kol, I have everything I need. He was only interested in what he needed. Beyond that, then I don't. If I have what I need, then I don't need more. What do? I have to store money, or I have to store furniture. You have a house. There's a house can be underfurnished, and then a house can be overfurnished. Overfurnished is a headache, a liability. I have everything. Esav said, I have Rav. Rav means a mighty amount. This is how Esav assessed it. So this was the shleimus of Yaakov, and this was the achdus, where they were united as one. So no matter how many people were in Klal Yisrael, Bikam Yisrael Goy Echad, you're a Goy Echad, you're one. That's what his sons told him. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one to you, we're also one. The nations of the world, they're 70, they're divided, division and dissension, and they go all in different directions. But Klal Yisrael's one, and you're the Hamat, you're the smallest, and you're not divided. It's for this reason that Machlekes, when there's dissension amongst the Bonim, amongst Klal Yisrael, amongst the Shvatim, this is an arrow in the heart of Klal Yisrael. This is the greatest antithesis to Yaakov Avinu. That's why when it came to the Machlekes of Kerach Ba'Adosa, when it states that what was the problem there, the problem was a unity. How can there be unity in Klal Yisrael? There can be unity in Klal Yisrael where there's one leader, where there's one king, one balabos. Once there becomes two kings, then there's a division. See, there's a division. There has to be one leader and one king. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah. Kerach Ba'Adosai, they challenged this leadership. They challenged this authority. They came to divide Klal Yisrael. So it states, Vayikach Kerach ben Yitzhar ben Kohos ben Levi. This is at the beginning of Parshas Kerach and Bamid Bates Zayin. It states that Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kos, the son of Levi. So it mentions Korach for four generations. Kerach, Yitzhar, Kos, and Levi. Four generations all the way up to Levi. If it's going back four generations, so why doesn't it go back already to Yaakov? Yaakov was the father of Levi. So on that, Rashi says, Bikesh Yaakov Rachamim al Atzmai. Yaakov asked for Rachmonos. He says, have mercy on me. When this division breaks out, don't mention my name. I refuse to have anything to do with it. Say, Bikesh Yaakov Rachmim al Atzmai Shelo Yizoch Hashmei al Machlekesem. As it states, when he, at the end of Sefer Bereishis Vayechi, when he blessed his sons, he told them that. He says, have rachmonos on me. He says, I am the one who stands for unity. This is my very essence. And when you have your great dispute, and you come to challenge the authority of unity, he says, divorce me from the whole situation. I don't want my name mentioned there. I have nothing to do with it. And that's why only by Levi does it stop. In other places where they're speaking about Sholem, then Yaakov's name is mentioned. Because this is the antithesis, see, of Yaakov Avinu. And this is why one of the greatest tragedies in Klal Yisrael was later on the splitting of the Malchus. There was the splitting of the Malchus between Melech Yehuda and Melech Yisrael. And this was one of the greatest tragedies of Klal Yisrael, and this brought the downfall. See? And we'll always find that this brings Churbonos, this brings the Churban, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh. Later on, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh also became of that, and Golus. It brings Golus. Golus is the mitzias of division, because Golus is where Klal Yisrael is divided. And in the Sforim it states that that's why we're in Golus today, because we are divided and divided. The unity lacks. And why was there this division? Actually, the Maral brings in a place, why was there a division amongst the Malchei Yisrael and the Malchei Yehuda? This division was between Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Yosef, and between Yehuda, the sons of Leah. The division came because they each came from a different mother. Since they each came from a different mother, so it was very difficult there to attain a perfect union where they should be united. And we see this later on. We see Yehuda, there was the machlekes between Yehuda and Yosef and the brothers. And the same thing later on. That caused the division. Didn't have to, but that made it prone to the division. And why? Why was it that the Yud Bei Shvatim therefore were born from two mothers, besides the Shvoches, besides the maidservants? And that the Maral writes, because how great Rochel was and how great Leah was, there was no one woman that was capable of giving birth to all 12 sons. So it had to come from more than one. But because of this, this made it prone for such a division. So therefore, one of the features in the Shlemus, the perfection of Yaakov, is Achdus, this unity. Now we find another feature of Yaakov Avinu, and that was Torah. As we mentioned, it states the definition, when the Torah defines, identifies for us Yaakov, it states, Ish tam yivosholem yeshev olim, yoshev bebeis ulfana, the Targum says, that he dwelled in Torah, in the tents of Torah. Yaakov was known as the Ish Torah, the person of Torah. This is how the Torah identifies him. And we see he went away for 14 years in this parsha, from the time he left, and Parshas told us, to the time where we learn about now in Vayetze, it states 14 years he went and concealed himself in the tents of Shem Be'ever, and he studied Torah there day and night. Now, why was it that Yaakov became more identified with Torah than even Yitzchok or Avraham? And the answer to that is the same. Because Torah also has this makeup, this character. Torah also is known as Sholem. It's perfect. Torah is Hashem Temimo, it states. Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah is Tomim, perfect. Perfect doesn't mean, like we said, it doesn't mean it's the biggest in the world. It's the biggest mass of wisdom in the world. It doesn't mean that it's the most dynamic. It doesn't mean that it's the strongest to the right or strongest to the left. No, Torah Hashem Tamima means it's perfect. There is not one extra letter in the Torah, and there is not lacking one letter in the Torah. There also we see the kola yeser kenotel dami. If a Sefer Torah is lacking a letter, it's disqualified. If it has an extra letter, it's qualified. We would say, I can understand if it's missing, but if it has more, it's better. And this is why there's an azorah, a prohibition in the Torah, where it states that lo yesef, lo seisef, or lo sigro, that you're not allowed to add to the Torah, you're not allowed to take away from the Torah when it comes to mitzvahs haTorah. But they have to be fulfilled in their perfection because it is perfect. And it is one. It is a total unified, wisdom. This is why there can be no contradictions. There can be no contradictions in the Torah. There can be no questions in the Torah without answers. We must seek answers. We must seek solutions. If we cannot find them, it doesn't mean they're not there. But there cannot be where it's a contradiction like you see between different wisdoms, because it's one and it works in perfect unison. And what is very novel about the Torah is that it doesn't tell a person to leave this world and become an angel. Many times the Gemara says, Torah wasn't given to angels. It doesn't tell the person leave this world and become an angel because he's an earthly being. On the other hand, it doesn't tell the person sink into the depths of worldliness, of earthliness, and become like an animal. But again, everything in perfection, where he takes both worlds and both worlds are utilized. And everything perfectly straight. Therefore, it's Yoshur. It states on Pekudei Hashem Yishorim. The mitzvahs of Hashem are perfectly straight. Torah is not a right-wing movement, it's not a left-wing movement, but it's the perfect synthesis, and therefore perfectly straight. It's interesting to note that Yaakov also was called Yoshur, Yeshurun. Yeshurun was the name that was given to Yaakov, and that's from the word Yoshur. It teaches the person how to live in both worlds. This is why Yaakov, therefore, was Zocha the Torah. Actually, we mentioned many times that there's a Gemara Masechta Shabbos that says the Torah is made up of threes. Like we see, it's made up of Chumash, Nevim, prophets, Ksuvim, and the writings. And it was given through three. It was given by Kodesh Baruch Hu to Yisrael by Meisher. And it was given in the third month, and so forth. Because three represents that perfection to the right and to the left, and then the center that brings it together. So this is why Yaakov identified so greatly with Torah. Now we find also one other feature with Yaakov. Well, we find many, but one other that we will speak about, and that's Beis HaMikdash. We find Yaakov also identified with the Beis HaMikdash. We'll bring in a minute where the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that the Beis HaMikdash is called Bais. Kodesh Baruch Hu refers it as Beisi, my house. Zeh Beisi, Beis Tfilosi. Why does he recall it his house? Because Yaakov, in our Pasha, called it his house. He says, Ein Zeh Kim, Beis HaLakim. This is the house of Hashem. Abraham called it a mountain. Because Abraham, when he went to sacrifice Yitzchak, it states, he saw the har, the mountain. Yitzchak, it's referred to as a soda. Because in two parshas ago in Chayei Sora, when Eliezer brought back Rivka for Yitzchak, it states that Yaakov was losuach basoda. He was davening in the sod in the field. This was at the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Yaakov called it a bais. Ein zekim beis elokim. And Hashem said, I called it like Yaakov did. In other words, he was the one who perfected it. A mountain is something which is remote from all people. A field is not remote from people because people can use the field. Okay? They can grow in the field, they can harvest, but still, it's not a living place. Yaakov is the one who made it a dwelling place. Also we find, later on in Sefer Shmos, that it states that when the children were commanded in the desert to build a Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, the sanctuary, they built it out of arozim, cedar trees. And that was the spine of the Mikdash. Say, this was your spine, this was your structure. So they asked, where did it come from? Where in the desert did they get cedar trees? So this came from Yaakov. Because before Yaakov left Canaan to go down to Egypt when there was a famine, he cut saplings of cedar trees and took them with him. And he replanted them in Egypt, in Goshen. And he told his sons that when you go out, cut them and take them with you, because you'll need them to build the Mishkan. So we see Yaakov was the one who provided the spine of the Mishkan. The reason for this is the same thing. Because the Beis HaMikdash is the joining point of the two worlds. The highest point, the highest spiritual point of the physical world is Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael. States Eretz Yisrael's Kodesh Mishar Kol Arotzis. This is more sanctified than all of the other lands. And Yerushalayim is Kodesh Mikol Shara Yoris. And Yerushalayim is more than all of the other cities. And the Mokam HaMikdash, the place where the Beis HaMikdash is more sanctified than all other places. The most sanctified place of this world is the place of the Beis HaMikdash. And the fact is, it states that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world from. Evan Shasia. There's an Evan Shasia, a stone that's called Evan Shasia, which is right under the Oren of the place of the Beis HaMikdash in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And why is it called Evan Shasia? Shasia means to weave. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu started with that stone and he wove the world around it. And this is referred to as the Tibor, the navel of the world. And just as the child, the creation of the child starts from the navel, so did the creation of the world start from its navel. And why does the creation of the child start from the navel? Because that's where he's connected to the mother. That's where his first life and nourishment comes from. So does the world start from there, because that is where it's connected to the higher worlds. This world has a connection to the higher world. And where is that connection? That's at its navel. And where is that? That's at the Mokam HaMikdash, the place of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Beis HaMikdash also is to take the two worlds and join them together. And the oneness, Beis HaMikdash always represented one. It states the 70 nations, they worship in 70 different ways. But we have one way. We all come to one Beis HaMikdash, no other place, because that unifies and unites us. This is why Beis HaMikdash also was a great feature with Yaakov. I just want to read a few psukim from the beginning of the Seder, and we can see now many things that we spoke about. It states that Yaakov went from Be'er Sheva, and he came to a place, Vayifka b'mokem, Vayolen shom kivo ha-shemesh. All of a sudden the sun set, so since it became dark, so he went, and he decided he'll have to lodge there. The Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it dark prematurely that day, because he wanted Yaakov to lodge there. Why? Because this was the Mokam HaMikdash. This was Har HaMoriah. And he said, Sadik bo lebeis meloimi be'efte b'leilino. This individual is going to come to my place where the two worlds join, and I'm going to let him pass by without sleeping, without lodging there. So therefore he made it dark prematurely. He took from the stones of the place and he went to sleep. Later on when he got up, it states Vayikach Evan on Yud Ches, Vayashkim Yaakov Babaker, he woke up in the morning, Vayikach Eso Evan, he took the stone, Asher Somer Asher Yisuf, and he made this as a monument. Now the Chazal tell us when he went to sleep it was many stones. When he got up it was one stone. Because this was the nature of Yaakov. The nature of Yaakov was to take many and make one out of them. He was going to take everything that he learned from Avraham and everything that he learned from Yitzchok, and he was going to make one. And just like their children were not one because they went in different directions, Iporedu, but from him one will come, one nation. And then it states Vayishka Bamoka Mahu, there he slept. So the sages say there he slept, but before he didn't sleep, because before, for 14 years he was studying day and night by Shem Ve'ever to come to this level. Vayachlom, and he had a dream, and he saw a ladder, and the ladder came from this place and went up into the heavens. What did this represent? This represented the navel of the world. This represented the cord that joins the two worlds. At this point they join. V'malach elakim elim v'yodim boy, and angels would come in and going. V'inei Hashem nitzav olov, and Hashem stood over him. The Gemara in Chulin states, Giranosha, why did Hashem stand over him? To protect him from the angels. Because the angels wanted to kill him. Why? Because they were going up and down. They were going up, and they looked at Hashem's throne. And Hashem, on Hashem's throne, he has a cast of a lion, because that's the king of the wildlife, and of a bull, because that's the king of the domesticated animals, and of an eagle, because that's the king of the birds, and then he has a man who's the king over everyone. And that, the feature of that man was Yaakov, had a face like Yaakov. It is Yaakov, because we mentioned he was the perfection of all men. And so the angels were going up and they were looking there, and they were coming down and looking here, and they said that this man has the tzura shechokuk al kisei Yaakovet. And they said he stole it from the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they wanted to kill him. So therefore Hashem Nitzav Olov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was protecting him. And then he gave him brochos. He says, the land which you are on, you will be given to you. And easily, When the time comes, it will be given to you easily. It will be so easy, just as you sleep on a piece of land, so will all of Eretz Yisrael be brought together under you, and it will come to you. And your seed will become many, and it will spread out to the west, and to the east, to the north, and to the south. And Nivruch Vachor called Mishpachas Adonai. All of the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Now these were the brochas that were given to Abraham, to Yitzchok, and to Yaakov. Not to Esav, but to, not to Yishmael, but to Yaakov and his bonos. And these brochas, the sages say, from here we see they were b'li mitzorim, without boundaries. The brochas that were given to Abraham had limitations. All of this land, or everything you see, to Yitzchok, to Yaakov, without limitations. Baruch Abeli Metzorim. And why is that? So Maral explains that's because of Yosher. When something goes to the right or to the left a little, it's eventually going to come to an end. If you draw a line and it's a little off center and it's going to the right or to the left, eventually it's going to come to an end. Something that goes perfectly straight is never ending. And this was the quality of Yaakov. And therefore it was never ending, and therefore never had no limitations. And I will guard you. And Yaakov woke up and he said, this is Hashem's place. Ein ze ki'im beis elakim. This is the beis elakim. Here he called it a bayis. Ze shara shamayim. This is the gate to heaven. He realized it states gate to heaven because there's a beis hamikdash lemalo and a beis hamikdash lemata, and they're right at this place. That's why tefillahs are supposed to have such a strong force in the place of the Beis HaMikdash, because right above it is the Shara Shemaim, the Beis HaMikdash Shemaim. And he got up and he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says that if you will guard me and give me lechem lechel or begel ilbesh, and give me food to eat and clothing to wear, v'hoyu Hashem li lelekim, and you will be for me a God. What does it mean, you will be for me a God? So Rashi tells us, you will be for me in my total entirety for a God. You will rest your name not on part of me, like you did by Abraham, but Yishmael that went out from him didn't have it. Or like you did by Yitzchok, but Esav didn't have. But you will put your name on me in entirety. So all of my sons will carry your name. Shelo yimotzei psul bezari. Then I know that you have fulfilled. You have fulfilled. I know that I have lived up to the promises, to the prophecies that you have promised me. This is what he means, lo yili lelekim. And that's how it was. Later on, it's found that HaKadosh Baruch Hu added a yud on every name of all of his sons. Just one final note, and that is, here we're speaking about Yaakov. Let's say one word about Rachel. Rachel, even though Yaakov had four wives, but the main two were Rachel and Leah. The other were the shvachis, the maidservants. Of Rachel and Leah, Rachel is called Akeres Abayis. She is his main wife. She is the foundation of the house. Why? Because kol atzma le ba leloven vele ovad leloven el bishvi Rachel. Because it was because of Rachel, this was the whole reason why he came to the house of Lovin, and why he worked for Lovin. Leah, this became his wife through the deceit of Lovin. Now the Gemara mentions something about Rachel. It says in Masechta Megillah, under Yud Gimel Amud Beis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays every person for their righteousness, even if it's many generations later. From Rachel came out a great descendant, Shaul, King Saul. What schus did Rachel have that such a great descendant like King Saul should come out? So it says Tzniyah Shemo because of her great Tzniyus. Of her great Tzniyus. Tzniyus means modesty, secrecy, privacy. And who's the Chol have that from him should come such a great descendant as Esther Amalka? Also, because he also was very tzonua, he was very private, very modest, very secretive. And therefore he was zeicher to Esther. Esther, we find, was very modest and very secretive. Where do we find this? Because Ahasuerus wanted to know her identity and she refused to give it. Because Mordechai said, under no circumstances, tell Ahasuerus who you are. Why? Because she was a descendant of royalty. And Mordechai was afraid that if he'll find out she's a descendant of royalty, then he'll certainly keep her. So therefore, he said, don't reveal who you are and maybe he'll send you away. And Ahasuerus kept trying to do all kinds of things. He took other wives to make her jealous. He made big parties for her, whatever he did. But it states, Le'ein Esther Mageres Malarito. Esther would not reveal who her family was, even though she could have had much more wealth and fame in the eyes of the king had she done this. So we see an enormous secrecy and modesty. That was Tzniyus. What was the Tzniyus of Shaul, king's son? Because when he went to look for his donkeys, and then he met Shmuel, and Shmuel told him that you are going to be anointed the king. And he came back and he told his father everything that happened, where they were and where the donkeys were and the whole story. But the main thing that Shmuel said, he's going to be the king, he never told him. He told him about the donkeys and he told him about everything else. Why? He was very, very modest. He was very private. He didn't want to reveal it. Even though, imagine the fame and imagine the attention he would have attracted. He would have been the center of attention. How many times do we want to say something? Not only something good, but even Lashon Hara. Because we can attract so much attention with it. And here, this, Lehigid, he won't tell him. That's Shaul. So then Imara says, Maitz news the Rochel. Where do we find the Rochel with such a tznua? So in this week's Parsha, it says, Vayaged Yaakov the Rochel ki ochi avihu. Yaakov came to Rochel, and he said, I am the brother of your father. He wasn't the brother of the father. He was the nephew of the father, the son of the father's sister. Why did he say, I'm the brother of your father? So this is why. When he saw Rachel, right away he said, will you marry me? He knew right away this was for him. So he said, will you marry me? She said, yes. But my father is a Ramoy. He said, my father is a great swindler. And he will not let you. He'll trick you. Be on your guard. So he said, I am your father's brother. I'm your father's brother, and I'm Yaakov, the son of Yitzchok. Right? Ben Rivka. If he wants to deal honestly, then I will be Yaakov, the son of Rivka. If he wants to be a crook, I will be a brother to him in deceit. So that's why he said, I am your father's brother. Then he asked Rochel, what should I be on guard for? How will he swindle me? So she said, because Islay Sosa de Kshishamino, I have a sister that's older than me, and he will not permit me to get married before her. And even if he makes a deal with you, in the end he'll trick you. So Yaakov said, I will be his brother in deceit. We'll make sure he doesn't trick me. So Moshe lo Simonim. So he gave signs to Rachel that night to make sure that he will be able to identify her, and therefore he won't be tricked. Kimot ha'lailo, when the night came, and then Rachel saw that Lavan was going to follow through with his plan, and he was switching Leah for Rachel. Omra hashta miksefa isasoy, and she said, "Now it will be a very great embarrassment to my sister, because when she won't be able to give Yaakov the signs, he'll realize that it's a fraud, and he'll throw her out in the middle of the night. And what can be a greater embarrassment than that?" So Masas Inu Nilo, he gave her the signs. And that's what it says, Vayiba Vekevinehi Leah. In the morning it was Leah. Only in the morning did he realize it was Leah Michla, but in the evening he didn't know it was Leah, because Rachel had given these signs. Therefore, because of this, was Zochav Yotzmi Menu Shol. Shol came from her. Now the question is, where was the tznius? By giving her the signs, what was the great tznius, the privacy? To the contrary, she revealed to Leah the signs. So Rashi explains, "Uhu tznius shelo isparsim hadover shemosalo simonim." This is the tznius. The tznius was that she covered up the shame of Leah, and she gave the signs, and she didn't tell Yaakov she gave the signs, and she covered the shame of Leah. See, what is snius? Snius is when you conceal. This is snius. Shol was at Snua, he concealed the prophecy that Shmuel told him he would become the king. He concealed it from others. Esther was at Snua, she concealed the greatness of her family from Achashverosh. Rachel was at Snua, she concealed the shame of Leah, her sister. This is its news. So we see what snius is. Snius means to conceal. Fortunately, we have people that reveal everything. They cannot help reveal everything that's their business and someone else's business and everybody's business. Whether it's something you're allowed to say or something you're not allowed to say, they're always revealing. This is the greatest plitzus. This is the greatest porus. Porus means openness. This is the greatest openness. A Jew has to be a tsanua. Tsanua means someone who's concealed. And he reveals only what is a mitzvah to reveal, or what is necessary to reveal. And that's these three. Shol won't reveal the prophecy of Shmuel, even though a great deal of fame would have come to him. And Esther won't reveal her family, even though her ancestry, even though a great deal of fame. And Rachel would not let Leah become revealed. She concealed the fact that it was Leah. Now, what does this have to do with Yaakov? Why is this a feature in Rachel in relation to Yaakov? The answer is very simple. Esav was known as the revealed one. States on Esav that he was like a chazir. A chazir sits and reveals its hoofs. It says the chazir sits with his hoofs out. Most animals conceal their hoofs when they sit. The chazir reveals his hoofs. Why? Because his hoofs are split, so they look like a kosher animal. So the Hazir tries to reveal to the world his righteousness. If you're righteous, good. You don't have to advertise it. The Gemara brings in Avodah Zarah that Rome, Yotzer Tiva Bal Kol Eilam, the whole world will know about Rome, because Rome will reveal to the whole world their so-called strength and righteousness. And Esav was called the Hazir. The swine tries to tell and reveal his righteousness to everyone. He sits with his split hoofs in front. Re'ei kosherani. See that I'm kosher. This is why Esau was always revealing to everyone his greatness and his righteousness and so forth and so on. Because he was from this world. This world is the revealed world. This is the world we see. Yaakov, though, came from higher worlds. He was the master of the higher world also. And the higher world is the world we do not see. It's the Olam HaSeser. It's concealed. cannot see the higher world. Man was made of earth. Earth is revealed. Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chaim, he was given a soul. The soul cannot be seen. It's concealed. And it states that just like the soul dwells in Seser, so does HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwell in secrecy. Nobody, Yeshiv B'Seser Elyon, where he dwells is secret. Nobody can see it. And it states also that Bracha, if a person wants blessing, it says don't reveal what you have. You see, many wealthy people, if you look at the billionaires list in the Fortune magazine, you'll find that a good many of them are unknown. And any information that they write about them is information that they had to get on their own. They will not be revealed. Because these people know that if you want brocha, that's where brocha comes from. The Gemara says, "Eina brocha metzuya l'mashe somri mina ayin." If you want brocha, don't advertise. Brocha comes from something which is concealed. Why? Because the source of brocha is not this world. The source of brocha is the higher worlds. Therefore, it has to come just like water. Where is the source of water? Deep down in concealed places, that's the source of brocha. This is why Yaakov had earned these brochas. This is why Rachel, who was so great in this quality, was the match, the perfect match for Yaakov Avinu. These are some insights into Yaakov. Yetz Hashem, next week, perhaps we'll be able to speak about his 12 sons.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.